The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 745. It's the 28th of March 2017. On the podcast today, I have Mark Summery, Chief Medical Officer of Amryt Pharma, that's AMYT, discusses the commencement of EASE, its phase 3 clinical trial of AP101, Amryt's lead drug candidate. Also on the podcast, Jay Abbott, Managing Director of Phalanx Cyber Defense, which is part of the Phalanx Group, FLX, and explains the launch of Midgard, its wholly owned proprietary cyber threat detection platform. Plus, I also have today's suggested one for your watch list. Nothing on this podcast is intended as investment advice, just information. And Duncan suggests Frontera Resources, FRR, and I'd say this is quite a risky play. Looking at the balance sheet, I've gone through the balance sheet, and they've got a lot of debt. But who knows? They are trying to restructure that. But who knows? And that's why I say nothing here is investment advice. Please do your own research. It's your money. Also on the podcast, I have, as usual, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours and the most liked RNSs on Vox Markets this morning.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Mark Summery, Chief Medical Officer at Amryt Pharma. That's AMYT ticker. Mark, thanks for joining me.
Thanks very much. Pleasure.
And I'm slowly working my way through your entire corporation there. I've spoken to lots of guys from Amryt, but it's nice to chat to you. And you joined the company back in September, was that right?
That's correct. Yes, September last year.
Excellent. Well, it's always nice to get a fresh perspective on the company. So first and foremost, for anyone listening who's not aware of Amryt Pharma, Mark, can you give us a brief overview as the company? I know we've got some news out on your lead product we'll go through in a bit, but a general summary of the business, please.
Absolutely. So we're a biotech company headquartered in Dublin in Ireland, quoted on the AIM, the London Stock Exchange, and our focus is the in-licensing or acquisition of products that we can develop and commercialize for the treatment of patients with very rare and serious diseases, which we call orphan conditions.
Excellent stuff. And at the moment, how many products do you have there, Mark?
We have three products. Mm-hmm. The first one is actually already approved and on the market, and that is a product which is targeting patients with a very rare genetic condition causing a very high cholesterol level in their blood, which leads to early heart attacks and strokes. That's a product that we in-licensed from another company for the European, Middle East, North Africa, Turkey and Israel markets. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a second product which is in development, is currently just starting phase three, which was the news that we announced today. And that's for another very rare condition called epidermolysis bullosa, also a very serious disease that affects children as well as adults. And then we have a third product which is earlier stage, it's in preclinical at the moment. So in other words, it hasn't yet entered clinical studies. It hasn't been used in patients yet. That, if we're successful in getting it to patients, we hope to develop to treat also rare diseases called acromegaly, Cushing's disease, and neuroendocrine tumors. So three products in total at different stages of the life cycle and development.
I was going to say, yeah, you position yourself well there because you have obviously revenue from your one product there, licensed in Europe and Turkey and all that, and then you've got this one now going to phase three and also preclinical. So so let's go through the news today, and this is very much your describes it, lead product for EB. I want to attempt to say it in its entirety. I stumble there. Can you take us through the news, please, then, Mark?
Yes, so today we announced that we have initiated the phase three trial of our product, which we call AP101, mm-hmm. which is a topical gel that can be applied to the wounds, the skin wounds, of patients who are suffering from EB. And so the phase three study is a very important milestone for the company, because this, we believe, will be the study that should support an application that we can send to health authorities that will lead to approval to commercialize or market the product for patients with this disease.
Okay, and how many patients will be tested, and how long do you expect this phase 3 to last for?
So we plan to enroll 164 patients with EB into the trial. 164 patients actually is a very large number of patients with this condition, because it's so rare that it's very difficult to find patients to put into clinical trials. So 164 patients is a substantial size study for this kind of very rare condition. And we imagine, or we anticipate, I should say, that it will take us approximately 18 months to enroll patients into the trial and follow them through to the primary endpoint of the study, which is an assessment of wound healing, which we hope obviously to demonstrate has been beneficially impacted by the product.
Yes, and let's say this all goes, successfully. What's the potential here? What's the market size? And hopefully, mm-hmm. when will that happen?
Well, the market that we believe for EB globally would be approximately 1.3 billion euros. So it's a very substantial size market. There are currently no approved products for use in this condition. So it is a very attractive area to develop a new product from a medical point of view, as well as from a commercial point of view. So we're very excited to have an opportunity to bring something new to these patients who really have no satisfactory options that really help them very much with their condition. In terms of the timing, once we've completed the study, which, as I mentioned, we think will take approximately 18 months, we then have to send the data to the health authorities, like the European Medicines Agency and the FDA in the United States. And they usually will take about 6 months to review the data, to ask questions, evaluate, etc. And hopefully, if all goes well and the data support the approval of the product, we would expect to get that approval in 2019. So that's assuming, of course, that all goes according to plan.
Yeah, and I was aware of this about a year ago, but double blind trials, and it's very clever the way it works, isn't it? If I get this wrong, so what happens? You get a placebo and you have your drug. They look identical, and they're given to patients, and the patients don't know what they're getting, do they?
That's correct. So in fact, it is the most rigorous way to evaluate whether or not a product is having its intended effect. And what it does is it eliminates bias, which comes from the knowledge of whether or not you're receiving the product. So not only does the patient not know whether they've received the active product or the placebo, but the doctors and the nursing staff and all of us involved in the conduct of the study, none of us will know whether any individual patient has received the product or the placebo. It's only the statistician who looks at the data at the point where we do the analyses in the study, who will be aware of which treatment the patient has received. And it is the most rigorous way to conduct clinical studies.
Yeah. So when the patient comes in there, what are they actually told then? They're just told they will be given a treatment, is that, or what?
Yes, so they'll be told that we're developing a new treatment for this condition. Mm-hmm. It's important that they understand there's a possibility they may benefit from the new treatment, obviously, because otherwise we wouldn't be doing the study. There's also a possibility that they may not derive any additional benefit. So they have to be fully informed, and they have to give their consent. And obviously, if they're a child, which is going to be the case in many of the patients in our study, their parents will have to give consent on their behalf. And then they'll be told that there is a 50-50 chance that they'll either receive the product or the placebo. And then obviously for the duration of the study where they're receiving the product or the placebo, that will continue until the point after the assessment of the primary endpoint. And then after that, all of the patients who were receiving the placebo will switch across to the active treatment for another 2 years of treatment. So it's actually an important point, because patients will know that although there may be a 50% chance they may be on the placebo and not the active treatment, eventually all the patients will be treated with the active treatment. So if it is beneficial, all the patients will have an opportunity to benefit.
I see. Okay. And as far as news in this period of 18 months, will there be news in the meantime? I mean, apart from, I assume you'll have news out on your other two drugs, products there, but news on
yes.
AP101, will there be news on that?
Yes, there will. We've incorporated an interim analysis, which we will conduct after half of the patients have completed that primary efficacy endpoint assessment. And so that should occur early in 2018. And it will be a very important piece of news, because at that point, we will either be told by the statistician who does the analysis to continue the study as is originally planned, with 164 patients to complete the study, or to add additional patients to the study in order to increase the likelihood that when we finish the study, we'll have enough patients to draw the best statistical conclusions about whether or not the product works. Or the statistician may say stop the study because there's no possibility of showing a benefit, so which obviously we hope will not happen. It's a really important point in the trial.
Excellent. Okay, Mark. Well, listen, every day on the podcast, I highlight the top five most followed companies on Vox Market. So for someone listening right now, I like what you're saying and would like to do some more research. Can you give us three reasons why someone should hit that follow button on your page, please?
Yes, so I think to reiterate, we're a company that's developing products for orphan diseases, and that has clearly been a huge focus and is a highly attractive area for biotech and pharma companies to focus in currently. One of our focuses is in the dermatology space. So a dermatology combination orphan is also, I think, makes the company very interesting to follow because of the huge amount of interest in the area from large and small pharma and biotech companies. And I think the third reason is, you know, the company has a very impressive team in terms of background experience, etc., doing exactly what we're setting out to do here. And we're delivering on our commitments. And I think that makes us, you know, a very interesting company to look at.
Yeah, so, well, listen, I wrote a blog post on you a while back, and I was very impressed by the board. And that's even before you joined, Mark, so it's now even more impressive. But thank you very much for that, Mark. And like you say, you have three products in different parts of the development cycle, so you're bound to have plenty of news coming out. So hopefully we'll speak again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks very much for the opportunity.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Jay Abbott, Managing Director of Phalanx Cyber Defence. That's FLX ticker. Jay, thank you for joining me.
Good morning, Justin.
Now, you've had a bit of news out today. Looks very positive there, and looks like you're moving forward with the company. But before we do that, I always like to ask people on the podcast to give a brief summary as to what their business is all about. So tell us what Phalanx is all about, please, Jay.
Sure. So Phalanx Group is an organization with an intelligence and a cyber subdivision. I run the cyber subdivision, the Phalanx Cyber Defense, and we are a full services cyber organization helping clients understand cybersecurity from their perspective, ultimately work with them to solve that problem and what problems exist within their companies, and then working alongside them to monitor and respond to incidents in real time.
This may seem like a bit of a simple question, but when you say cyber, what do you mean by that?
So when we talk about cyber, we mean direct or indirect threats from technology, from those people around the world that wish to exploit technology to commit criminal acts, fraud, of a sort of malfeasance. You know, there's a whole bunch of sort of bad things that fall into that category. But ultimately, we're talking about security of computer and technology systems, the stuff that underpins every business out there.
Yeah. Are you starting to find, I know you've been in this industry for years, are you starting to find, though, in the last couple of years, because there's been quite a few high-profile cases, you know, in the press, are you starting to find that companies are starting to take it seriously, whereas they weren't so much before? They were, you know, almost tried to do a bit of it or pay a bit of, you know, lip service to it, but didn't really go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been doing this personally for over 20 years now, and it's, 20 years ago, it was a very difficult sell indeed. It was very much a government thing, a banking thing. Yeah. But now it's mainstream. You know, people get it. They understand you can't just, you know, operate your systems and not, expect to have issues occur. You have to put the relevant levels of security in place or you will become a victim. It's that simple.
Yeah, okay. Let's go to the news out today, which is the launch of the proprietary platform and partnership agreement. Take us through the highlights here, Joe. What's happening here?
Yeah, sure. So I guess the key thing here is our new technology platform called Midgard. Mm-hmm. And this represents us basically retooling our entire environment into our own intellectual property. Previously, we've used a third-party application to provide our security operations center monitoring business, the bit that allows us to look into clients' estates and see what's happening in real time. What we've actually done now is over the last 6 months, we've been developing our own technology, something I had personally designed a couple of years ago, and that we've leveraged a series of open source technologies to help us deliver in a very short space of time. Net result, we now have our own intellectual property, our own technology platform, something that gives us a foundation to move forward from, allows us to stay at the cutting edge of the problem space and have a very, very desirable product in the marketplace that clients wish to purchase.
Yes, and so you've mentioned a couple of partnership agreements there that rolling this out to. So what advantage is it to the clients here?
Well, the advantages are pretty clear. You know, the technology landscape moves pretty quickly. And when you're talking about monitoring, it really is identifying anomalies in large patterns of data. Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately what we're trying to do. And to do that, you really need the latest in big data analytics. You need the latest approaches in data science, a whole bunch of seriously complex concepts and sort of, you know, difficult to achieve tasks. What we have is a fully managed service that facilitates that for the client. Which allows us to be able to do that on the client's estate on their behalf.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you probably won't be able to answer this, but at the moment, like some of the clients you've got here, what is it one single biggest threat or is it multifarious? Is there lots of different things that they face that are threats?
There's lots of different types of threat out there, but I guess the most common thing that's sort of hurting the UK at the minute is fraud. And it's traditional organised crime who are leveraging computer systems to fundamentally steal money from businesses, you know, sending someone a fake invoice and sending that to the accounts department saying, oh, can you pay this invoice? And a busy accounts department doesn't even check and pays the invoice,
yeah.
You know, or, you know, sending an email to the CEO from what purports to be the CFO saying, oh, I need an immediate funds transfer, or vice versa to the CFO from the CEO saying, oh, I need immediate funds transfer from, you know, this account to this account. And, you know, if the CFO is not paying attention, that fund transfer gets action. You know, it's identifying those sort of things because they're what are hurting the UK economy. That's what's costing it hundreds of thousands of pounds every single day.
And what, your system would be able to pick up the sort of anomaly or the fact that these kind of invoices are not from a reputable source or what?
Yeah, so the technology we have ultimately allows us to look at all the different types of data being generated in a client's environment, all of the metadata generated by all of those systems. Mm-hmm. So if we're looking at the email system, we'll be able to see various patterns and trends, and then from that we can alert the client when something bad's happening, when something doesn't look quite right. If we're looking at their login system, what's known as the Active Directory in an organization, if we're looking at those platforms, we're able to, you know, see when people logging in, logging out, and see if someone's attempting to log in 1,000 times, which is clearly not a human. You know, it allows us to look at that data, but look at it as a whole rather than individually, so we can then identify patterns and trends. And from that, our actual security analysts based up in Birmingham in our 24/7 security operations center, those guys can use that intelligence to figure out what's going on, pick up the phone to the client and go, something's not right.
Yeah, yeah. And you say that the organized crime, you know, online, are these based in certain, because you hear a lot about Russian hackers and, are there certain areas geographically these guys reside in or what?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the global economy or the global shall we say, fraud economy, the, you know, if you like, the bad economy, is quite extensive and sits across multiple geographies. Yes, there is quite a lot of the serious organized crime actually comes from the former Soviet states.
Yeah.
And is, you know, essentially the same people that were committing credit card fraud in the 80s are now just using computers to encrypt all your data and hold it to ransom. You know, it's the same people. They've just modernized their techniques.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Marvelous stuff. Well, Jay, there's only one thing left for you to do. Before we get to that, but by the way, so all your current clients now, will they be automatically put on with Midgard, using Midgard?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to every one of our clients now through our standard service review process, and we're giving them the opportunity to upgrade to Midgard at no extra cost. Because they're, you know, they've been good to us, they've been with us from the start, so absolutely we're going to help them out. And certainly any new clients we bring on board will move into the Midgard estate. Some of our clients obviously are central government, and as a result of that they have a very slow transition cycle, so we're fully expecting in some circumstances to maintain the existing tool set in certain client estates, certainly up until April 2018.
Yeah, and I suppose having your own software, proprietary software there, is also better for your bottom line as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. We're going to see direct cost savings as a result of this. But more importantly, and certainly in my mind more importantly, if you're using someone else's tool set, you're at their liberty, you're at their desires in terms of where they want to take it. This is our tool set. We can fundamentally points it in the direction of travel we need it to achieve what we want as a company, to make it the right product for our clients. And that level of control is, you know, fundamental to our future.
Excellent. Okay, well, on the Vox Markets podcast, every day I highlight the top five most followed companies, Jay. So if anyone's listening right now and they like the area you're talking about, please can you give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please?
Well, I would say purely because, you know, we are a UK company. We've got our own IP that's entirely homegrown now. We are going places and going there fast. So, you know, if I were you, I would definitely follow us.
Jay, thank you very much. Good to chat to you, and look forward to speaking again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Justin.
Okay, it's time for today's suggested one for your watch list, submitted by Duncan. Thank you very much for getting involved, Duncan. It's Frontera Resources, FRR. What does the company do? It's an independent Houston, Texas, USA-based international oil and gas exploration and production company whose strategy is to identify opportunities and operate in emerging markets in Eastern Europe around the Black Sea area. What's the current share price, market cap, and shares in issue? Share price, 0.385 pence. Market cap, 34.4 million. Shares in issue, 8.8 billion. What revenue and profit loss did the company generate? In their interim statement for the 6 months ended the 30th of June 2016, revenue was $2 million. Their net comprehensive loss was $10.9 million. How much cash does the company have? Now, it's worth checking out the balance sheet here, because it's quite fragile in the debt section there. So this is for the 6 months ended 30th of June. They had cash and equivalents of $50,000. Total current assets of $7.8 million. Total current liabilities of $64.9 million. Their current liabilities include accrued liabilities for $10 million, related party notes payable, $18.9 million, current maturities notes payable, $3.1 million, and convertible notes payable of $29.8 million. So that's current liabilities. That means liabilities are expiring within 12 months. All right, so they obviously have to do that. On the 29th of December, by the way, at the end of December, they announced some debt restructuring. So it's worth checking that out. But the restructuring has been affected by exchanging old notes, which had a maturity date of the 1st of August 2016, to new notes, which have a maturity date of the 1st of August 2020. So read more into that. There's three reasons why someone should add these to their Vox Markets watch list. Reason one, farming out of Georgian assets. Assets, which are listed as 800 million barrels of oil in place and 13 TCF of gas. Company estimates there are 215 TCF gas and 18 billion barrels of oil. Reason two, new acreage in Ukraine being signed up. And reason three, new acreage in Moldova just signed. All above will be financed through Georgian farm out companies going on a publicity drive. So that's Frontera Resources, and this ticker's FRR. But like I said, do your own research. The company has debt, and they have to sort of maintain that and keep that going in some way. So check that out. Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, 8 Energy, ADD. At four, always there, Ascent Resources, AST. At three, Falcon Acquisitions, on the podcast yesterday, FAL. At two, Cadence Minerals, as KDNC, also on the podcast yesterday. And number one most followed company, got a lot of press yesterday, one of the biggest finds offshore of oil ever. I reckon it's going to be 1 billion barrels there. And that's Hurricane Energy, HUR, and of course Malky talked about them on the podcast, and hopefully coming on the podcast this week. All right, top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets this morning. At five, Sirius Minerals, SXX, proposed move to main market. At four, Sound Energy, SOU, preliminary results. At three, I just spoke to Mark on the podcast, at Amrit Pharma, AMYT, phase three clinical trial for AP101 commenced. At two, Iron Ridge Resources, joint venture agreement signed with Major Star. At, when I say Major Star, it's obviously a company, not a major star, like Sylvester Stallone or something like that, you know, or Lady Gaga. That would be very odd, signing there, a minerals company, resource company, signing up with a major pop star. And at one, Sound Energy, SOU, Tendrara TE8 results. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.